Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
Today, I want to read from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, and also the Gospel of John, chapter 3. First out of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, beginning in verse 20. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion, ran and embraced him and kissed him, and bring the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing, but he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, "Look, these many years I have served you and have never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him." And he said to him, the father said to the son, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found." And then out of the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." Verse 17, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Well, a few weeks ago, we spent a couple of times together looking at the story of the prodigal son. And today, just that last portion we want to look at related to this whole passage in the prodigal son, or the loving father, we referred to it. The younger son we saw demanded his share of the inheritance from his father, and his father gave it to him. And when he did, the son went off and wasted it and ended up in a pig pen, feeding pigs and eating what the pigs were eating. Coming to his senses, he returned home, hoping to at least be treated like one of the hired hands and given something to do and a place to stay and food to eat. He didn't have to be embraced again as son, but a hired hand would be enough. But what we saw was a loving, forgiving father in the story, celebrating his son's return. It's the same picture of our gracious, loving Father in heaven who finds each of us like that younger brother at times, sometimes in our worst moments. And that Father runs to us and picks us up out of our own pig pens and restores us to wholeness and healing, sending us back into the life that we were meant to live. And not only is our Heavenly Father there for us every day, but he calls us to do the same for others, to reach out to those around us and throughout the world who need a lift up in life. Today, a further look at that older brother as we close this time together out looking at the prodigal son. The brother, that older brother who is mad at what was happening, who didn't understand the love and the grace that his father was showing his younger wayward brother. So let me just say, this may be a good time for you guys to stop listening, because today might be a little uncomfortable looking at the older brother, because we may see a bit of ourselves in him. Angry at times, unforgiving, jealous, selfish, and judgmental in our responses when we've been wronged by others. No offense, guys, but I think that may be us at times. As I confessed a couple of weeks ago in one of our calls, I know I've done that and been like that at times, a little bit like that older brother. To the older brother, his younger brother should not have been allowed back, or at least should have been punished first, certainly not celebrated. A celebration which angered the older son, who said to his father, "Look, these many years I have served you and I've never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him." "I don't get it," he said, my paraphrase. To which his father responded, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found." The older son didn't understand that no matter what, his father loved him. The older son was all about doing, earning the father's appreciation, earning his respect and affection. All these years, the son said, I have served you and have never disobeyed your command. I wonder if there was something that older brother was afraid of or always feeling he had to prove himself, do something to justify his father's love and acceptance, feeling like he never measured up no matter what he did. But his father reminded him that his love for him had never been about that. It had never been about doing or earning, measuring up or obeying to be loved by him. You are always with me, his father told him, and all that is mine has always been yours. But the older son never knew that, never embraced it or believed it. He never accepted it. To him, it seemed that his father's love was always conditional. It was always about something he felt he had to earn. Before we pass by that point too quickly, with a quick nod and a wink of, oh, that's too bad, let me say that we, you and I, get caught up in that kind of wayward thinking in our lives also, where we think we have to do something to earn our Father's love, that Heavenly Father's love. And it's the world kind of gives us that message. That was the case for me many years ago and for many years. Even after I accepted Christ as Savior and Lord at age 35, I didn't understand or embrace God's love, God's grace for me every day. Even today, I have to guard against falling into that trap of thinking that his grace is something I need to earn. Maybe you can identify with that too. Always feeling like you have to achieve, you have to do something for God to love you, to earn his blessing in your life, to smile upon you. It's the message, my friends, of the world. What have you done for me lately? But it's not God's message to us. But even sadder than feeling that way is that we miss when we feel that way. We miss every moment, minute, hour, every day while our Heavenly Father stands ready to hold us, just to hold us because he loves us. And while we're in our pig pens, and at times we are, like that younger son, or thinking we have to earn his love like that older son felt he had to do, we miss the moments with him which are always before us. I wonder why that happens. Maybe because an earthly father or a father figure in our lives didn't give us his unmerited love and grace. Maybe it's because along the way in our growing up, we began to buy into those messages of the world that we are worth something only if we do something, only if we achieve, if we win, only if we are recognized by the world as somebody special. But that's the world's message, my friends, not God's message to us. Here we are, a few weeks from the celebration of the greatest act of love ever done for you and for me, where God sent his son to be born in a stable for us, to minister among us, and by his death, provide a path for us to be restored to an eternal relationship with God, both here and hereafter. God simply loves us. God simply loves us. He's always there with us and for us. He is the one who goes behind us, gathering up the debris from our mistakes and failures. And then he extends his hand of grace and forgiveness to lift us, to bless us, to heal us, to draw us closer to him. And then he goes before us and points the way forward with him to be all that he created us to be. He is the creator of the universe and knows your name. He threw the stars in the sky, and yet he knows and cares when we cry at night or when we worry about something that has gone wrong in our lives or with someone we love. He is there. When Nathan was around a year or two old, a few years ago, at bedtime we would put him in his crib, talk and sing with him, say prayers with him, and then often wait until he had fallen asleep in his crib. Linda and I would then go into the living room, which was just a short hallway around the corner from his bedroom. It was our small, wonderful first home as a family after we got out of the Air Force. We could easily hear Nathan in his room, and he could hear our voices in the living room. But despite that, it wasn't enough for him. And so nearly every night, shortly after we would put him to bed in his crib, Nathan would climb out of his crib, crawl into the hallway, and lay down on the carpet right behind the half wall that was there. We couldn't see him, but now he was only about 15 feet from us. He simply drew closer, where he could hear our voices better and feel even more that he was with us. My friends, that is the feeling that the God who created you and me wants us to always have, to know that he is always there, that his love and presence surrounds us, whether we're in the crib or in the hallway, on the field or on the court, in our home or office, or every now and then when we find ourselves in the pig pen. He is there. He's always there and always loves us, period. That's why he sent his son that we celebrate again in a few weeks. Don't play that other game, trying to earn his love, listening to the world's beckoning. Just claim what is already yours, his love for you. And when you do, you'll love all the moments that you spend with him. All yours, his love with him always. Let me pray for us. Father, just thank you. Thank you for this reminder. And every day you remind us, you poke us in so many different ways to tell us you're there, that you love us, that you're watching over us, that you care for us, even when we're in the pig pens, and maybe even especially when in the pig pens, you're there. You jump in with us, drag us out into all that you want us to be. Help us to accept that. Help us to remember that every moment of our lives, to please you, to seek to please you and not the worldly things, because you love us, so that you can help us to become all that you created us to be, and so that you can help us to help others and to lift others, to help them see your love for them and all that you want them to be and have created them to be. Thanks for loving us. Thanks for all you do for us and with us. In your son's precious, precious name we pray. Amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.